FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today's November 6th, 2017. It's Monday. Well, stock markets keep hitting record highs, and well, that's a good thing, I guess, but can it go on? Will the party continue, or will the Congress withdraw the punch bowl because they can't get anything done? Well, Eddie Gabor is back with us now. You know him well, a financial expert, co-owner of Key Advisors Group, LLC. And Eddie, hey, I'm glad you're back. Oh, of course, as always, if you've got any questions or comments, your voice matters to us. Be part of the show. Send us an email at kl@kerrylutz.com. So for Eddie, the question is, well, first, as always, welcome back. But will this tax cut actually become a reality?
Well, thank you for having me. And in regards to whether this tax plan will become reality or not, I think that the answer to that is yes. I just can't say with 100% confidence that's going to happen before the end of the year. But I do feel as though whether it's the end of this year or the beginning of next year that this tax plan will pass. You and I both know it's not going to pass in its entirety as it was presented the other day. I'm sure there will be some more changes to it, but I feel as though they're going to follow through and make this happen.
Well, you know, they say that Washington, D.C. is like a sausage factory. And basically, you put all the stuff in the grinder, you turn the handle, and it puts out a sausage into a casing. And, you know, it's not a real pleasant experience if you've ever been to a meat factory to watch them make a hot dog or a sausage. But that's what our system's become. Certainly, the market is expecting this tax break, if you want to call it a tax break. But for some, definitely it is a tax break. The market's got this priced in, doesn't it, Eddie?
I don't think it's fully priced in. I really don't. You know, the reason why the market is, and I think this is a little bit of a misconception, the marketplace right now, everyone thinks this market is continuing to soar because of this Trump tax plan, as they're calling it. But I would say that the market is really reacting to fundamentals. I mean, right now, the fundamentals look really good. Earnings reports have been strong. Things overseas are starting to really pick up. We are having a global melt-up that is returning equity to shareholders. Profitability is up. Cash position is up. The tax reform is just the icing on the cake that will take us to the next level. I believe it'll be the catalyst that will allow things to just continue to soar upwards. Still having volatility without question, but I've been a bull and debating bears for the last couple of years, and I continue to be in the bullish stance because of the fundamentals and because of anticipation of tax reform that will just add more to the bottom line.
So, you know, stocks always, they say, climb on a wall of worry. Nobody has been enthusiastic about this bull market to date. So maybe it's just doing what it always does, right?
Well, I've been saying that. I mean, this is one of the most hated bull markets maybe in history. And the reason, another reason, which may sound silly to some because it's not a really fundamental answer, but anyone you speak to, you listen to things that you read, it keeps referring to this, when's this collapse going to happen? And last I checked, no one was able to predict corrections. And usually right before a correction happens is when we're in a just euphoric state where everyone feels confident in the markets and they continue to go up. And here we've had the market go up despite all the negativity out there. So until more people are believers, I'm going to continue to ride the bull train.
Well, you know, that they say economists have predicted 8 of the last 3 recessions, so their record is pretty good on this. But do you just keep putting money into equities, or do you have to be more selective than you might have been in the past? You just buy Amazon, Apple, Google, Facebook, and a couple of others, and that's all you need to do?
No, I mean, the core principles of investing have never changed, and that's diversification. I mean, with my client base, even if I'm a bull as I am, I still have to be cautious in the amount of risk that they're taking. You know, there's lots of factors that go into how much equity exposure you should have, and there's an argument to be made that no one should ever be fully invested, because when you have corrections, you don't have an opportunity to take advantage of those. And so my one concern for investors today is they may be taking on more risk than they should because they haven't rebalanced their portfolio, or they've gotten greedy and have started to add to certain sectors that are doing the best and not being diversified. So diversification and risk management are still the core principles that people should be reviewing in their portfolios every 3 months.
Hey, so the tax cut, as originally envisioned, it's a little bit different. It's not really so much an individual tax cut as it is a corporate tax cut, a business tax cut. Is this for the better?
I mean, I think it is. And the reason why I say that is, I mean, our corporate tax rate is one of the highest in the developed world, number one. Number two is one of the biggest employers in our country that employs the middle class are small businesses. And small businesses on the pass-through side are the ones that are going to benefit the most, in my opinion, by having the pass-through tax be at 25% or 20%, whatever they agree upon, versus being taxed at their individual tax rate. Most business owners, when you speak to them, they get an extra bottom to their bottom line. They don't just take that money and go on vacation. They reinvest in their people. They reinvest in their businesses. And my hope is that will equate to wage growth. That's been one of the biggest hindrance, I believe, in our economy over the last several years is the middle class has had stagnant wage growth. And if you give small businesses an opportunity to reinvest in their businesses and be more competitive, I think you will see wage growth happen. And that's one of the biggest benefactors I hope happens out of this tax bill.
What about the concept that a lot of professionals are going to switch to pass-throughs, effectively making their income limited, so they're not going to pay the 40% tax? They're going to pay the 25% tax. You think people are going to be doing this?
I think that's a great media spin on things. I don't think you'll see it as much. Will there be some that do that? Probably. I think that's why you need to have a checks and balances in place to make sure no one abuses it. So it's just like this tax structure we have now. There are loopholes that allow large corporations to put money overseas and not pay any tax on that money or a very small amount. So they're taking advantage of legal loopholes in the system. It's benefiting the big corporations, not the small business. So I think anytime you make a change to the code, then yes, you need to also have some rules and regs in there to try to keep folks from abusing the tax law and what it was intended for.
Yeah, what's going to be the rate on the pass-throughs? It's 25%, but is that 25. Graduated? It's a graduated rate. Is there brackets there? How's that work?
So right now, the way that it works is on the pass-through, they pay federal and state income tax on that, and which is a higher rate versus just a flat 25%. Now, whether they're doing it graduated or not, I don't know yet. And again, I think anything that's in this preliminary bill, no one should plan in regards to it until we see what the final piece is that passes. So I don't get too excited or look to make adjustments to anything until I see the final draft.
Hey, I guess the old saying, nobody ever didn't get reelected because they voted for a tax cut, is probably driving this. Plus, the Congress's need, Eddie, to be perceived as a do something Congress rather than a do-nothing Congress, which could potentially injure them at the ballot box.
I don't think there's any question that it will injure them. I mean, if you ask anyone what major legislation has happened, they would tell you nothing has happened. Yeah. And so the perception is that they haven't really done anything yet this year. And this is their chance to get something done that has not been done in a long time that the business community will welcome. And let's not forget, this actually, corporate tax reform is something that has had bipartisan agreement for years. One of the few things you can point to and say that it has bipartisan agreement. So I'm hoping they take advantage of that opportunity and get this done.
Don't you think it would have been better, Eddie, to just leave the individual part of it, put it aside, and just go for the corporate, which really, how can anybody really be against corporate tax reform? You see trillions of dollars sitting offshore, although it's not really sitting offshore in like a lockbox. It's not an Al Gore's lockbox. Overseas, Apple Ireland, Google Ireland, Facebook Ireland, they're all set up there. They funnel as much of their profit as they can through to that entity. And then when they have money in the bank, they open up an account at the too big to fail, national bank in the U.S. called Apple Ireland or Google Ireland. So the money is really here in the U.S. It's all just an accounting gimmick, effectively, so that they can defer their taxes but still report them as profits.
Yeah, without question. I mean, I was definitely disappointed that they didn't break this up into two different bills, because I believe the tax or corporate tax reform was a layup that they probably could have gotten done in the first 2 months of the year. But for whatever reason, once you put that individual tax inside of the corporate tax rate, that's when you start to have a lot of the, you know, a lot of the misunderstandings, but they just don't agree upon it. But like you said, the corporate tax reform is something that would be very difficult to vote against on a standalone basis. So I do wish it was all together. I'm sure there's a reason as to why it wasn't. I'm just not privy to that information, unfortunately.
Yeah, and when you do look at a company like Apple, I mean, my thing is, like, let's not get into this situation of stranded profits overseas. Again, just say your tax is at 20% now. You are going to pay tax on your profit, whether you repatriate it or not, because the tax is low enough now, and you get a credit for what you pay overseas anyway. That comes right off your bottom line. So no more of this reporting, you know, effectively keeping two sets of books, one for your public filings, which show profits great, and then the other one on your tax returns, which shows that, oops, we really didn't make that much because the money is still overseas. Get rid of the ability in the SEC public company reporting statutes and rules, get rid of the ability to actually report profits on untaxed overseas income.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that the corporate tax reform is hopefully why it's been so perceived positively, is really simplifying things and making it a more level playing field. Because like you said, the larger companies have the scale and the resources to be able to do whatever they want within the legal tax code and loopholes, where, you know, John Doe Landscaping Company that does $100,000 of revenue doesn't have that same luxury. So they're being taxed at a higher rate as a pass-through than someone that's a much larger corporation that can, you know, legally use the system in their favor.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And so the middle class is theoretically getting a tax cut. The upper class isn't getting anything. I mean, isn't this thing like when it comes to the reforming of the tax system, nothing really good is happening on the individual side? This is really about business, but it's under the guise of helping everyone. I mean, why don't they just be honest about it?
Isn't that a question you ask Washington all the time? I don't know. It is frustrating because, again, like you've pointed to earlier, if they just went in and said, look, we want to do corporate tax reform and corporate tax reform only, I think you would have had a slam dunk bill that would have passed without any hesitation at all. And with the individual rates now involved and different things from the, you know, tax credits and what you can deduct on mortgages, it just turns it into a hairy situation that causes things to be delayed. And in the private sector, you don't have time for delays like that, or you lose money or you get gobbled up by your competition. So that's why many are frustrated by how long it takes to get certain things done.
Hey, and one other thing we got to talk about is the 100% write-off for new equipment. You know, normally when you buy equipment in a business, you have to depreciate it over its useful life, which is specified by the tax code. So you buy a new computer, you're supposed to depreciate it over 5 years. And there is the 100% write-off up to a certain amount of equipment, but it's not like a meaningful amount except for small business. So now you're going to allow big business to write off 100% for the next 5 years of their capital investment, which means these big companies aren't going to pay any tax, any more tax, Eddie, than they're paying now, because it makes sense for them to just overinvest in plant and equipment. Is this a good thing, or is it just like another tax dodge for big corporations?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one. And the reason why is you may get them to front load it up front and makes the economic numbers look good. But then there may be a price to pay later on when they don't need to buy more equipment if they're going to load up on lots of equipment and things up front to get that deduction. So that's really a hard thing to quantify. And with this tax bill, again, I think you're going to see certain things that have been presented now that are going to change by the time we see the final piece.
Hey, so it's kind of like a cash for clunkers. It's a factor factory for clunkers kind of thing. Open up a new factory, write it all off, and, you know, then you're going to get malinvestment. You know, there is a problem with the tax code in that you do have inflation, and when you buy equipment, it's going to depreciate, but then when you eventually need to replace it, it's going to be a lot more costly than it is now. So I think this could be a good thing, but it's going to enable the GEs of the world to continue paying no tax whatsoever. GE, Eddie, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 60. During my lifetime, they've never paid or paid minimal corporate income tax because they got high rises full of attorneys and accountants and lobbyists to make sure that they don't have to pay any. There's a reason GE is the largest airplane lessor in the world. There's a reason why GE owns all of the country's rail cars, et cetera, right?
Yes, and again, and I hate to keep repeating myself, that's the exciting thing about this tax code that's being presented is there is some relief for the small businesses with the pass-through entities, you know, because again, I think one argument I've heard that I would disagree with is this tax bill is going to change or really help the very large corporations. And my point to them is the large corporations are already doing fine tax-wise because they have the resources and the capital to work within the legal loopholes and pay very minimal tax. Where the small business owner does not. And this one will allow some relief for small business owners that they've been wanting for a very long time.
Yeah, and you and I are both small business owners, and I think it's a great thing. Look, like you said, not going to go on vacation. You're not going to buy a Porsche or Ferrari. You're going to reinvest at least a goodly portion in your business. Maybe you'll even hire more people. You'll buy new equipment. You're going to do that because you want your business to grow. Every small business owner out there, Eddie, whether it's you, me, or the landscaper, or the guy who washes windows, wants his business to grow so he can earn a higher return on his investment. Or she can earn a higher return on her investment and improve their lot and the lot of their families. That's the whole American dream. So this is really pro-American dream, isn't it?
It is. And the other thing, too, that people need to realize is, and when you look at somebody's net worth, usually their biggest asset, and I'm talking about middle class person here, their biggest asset is their business. Mm-hmm. They will put as much as effort and money and capital into their business as possible because that is their number one asset that they have that supports their families and others. So that's why when they get a windfall, they do not take that, at least a smart business person, they would not take that money and squander it. They're going to reinvest in their corporation, and that's going to help the middle class because that's who's making their corporation successful.
Absolutely. I think you stated it really well. One last point, and that is in high tax states, they're looking to do away with a good portion of the write-off, the deduction for state and local taxes. This is like the death knell for places like California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. You go down the list, you know who they are. Massachusetts, as they call it, and you know, Maryland, all sorts of places that are just out of this world taxing their citizenry to the bone. Is that going to cause a reform in those corrupt blue states?
You know, that's one of the biggest things you're hearing as far as one of the real sticking points with this bill. And, you know, I don't live in those states, so it doesn't affect me that way. But the only thing, you know, and I heard someone the other day say, well, maybe that's an opportunity for those states to be maybe a little bit more fiscally responsible so their tax rates don't have to be so high versus having the federal government subsidize it. And so, look, with any tax bill, you're going to have people who are happy and people that are unhappy.
Winners and
losers.
Not going
to have a bill that's going to make appease everyone. So you have to make sure the bill has more people who benefit than those that don't in order for it to be successful for America.
Yeah. So there's always winners and losers, let's face it. And the ones who are making the laws, look, the balance of power in the country has shifted. It's no longer a question of the highly populous states like New York and California and Illinois running the show. It's the red states that are really running it now. So might be a good thing, but they're going to have to be brought to the altar of governmental policy reform, kicking and screaming and spitting and biting and you know, whatever else. They're just not going to do it on their own. They've resisted it, Eddie. Look, New York, California, they're insolvent, whether they want to admit it or not. And it's certainly Illinois is beyond insolvent. So is this the catalyst that's needed to reform governmental pensions, to reform governmental employment policies, unionism in the public sector? We can only hope, right?
That's right. And time will tell in regards to this tax bill and what type of effect it's going to have. And again, I'm hoping it gets done before the end of the year, but I'm confident it will be done within the next 6 months.
Yeah, I think betting it, I believe that everything that Trump wants, he's going to get eventually. Tax reform will probably come first because, like I said, nobody ever lost their election because they voted for a tax cut. And I think the average American understands that if they have a job, then their employer, what's good for their employer is hopefully going to be good for them. And, you know, it's all about business. Anyway, Eddie, we want to find out more about you, your website. Where do we go?
Go to KeyAdvisorsGroupLLC.com.
All right. And we'll have a link to that site in the show notes of this interview. As always, email us, be part of the show, kl@carrielutz.com. The Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, and it's been very active lately. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Hey, one other thing, we had a problem with our RSS feed. It's been fixed now. You might need to unsubscribe and then resubscribe on iTunes. If you have a problem, just email me, kl@carrielutz. Hey, Eddie, thanks for coming on. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.